Welcome to the Everyday Ministry Podcast, where ministers get together to discuss everyday ministry. I'm tired of running, running, running into the things that kill my soul. Tired of always swinging hammers at the love that makes me whole. I'm running. All the roads that lead to you, sitting off on a one-way train to a place where they know my name.
This is the Everyday Ministry Podcast, a podcast where everyday ministers get together to discuss ministry. This is James, and I'm sitting here with Daniel and Ben. Daniel, man, how's everything been?
Man, things have been good and crazy. We are in the year. I've currently been here now at Clear Baptist for about 8 years, and it's been really good, been exciting for us. Have lots of big things happening in the life of our church, which is pretty awesome because my pastor here has been very intentional to make sure that the things that go on overall in our church are the same things that are going on in all of the major ministries within the life of our church. So that's been exciting, getting to coordinate and collaborate with him and other staff here to make sure that we are all together in our future plans for the coming months and even coming years in the life of our church. So we're excited about that, focusing on discipleship. And then just on a personal note, continuing through school, trying to get finished with seminary at some point in my life. And about to start building a house here soon.
You're building a house?
Yeah, man.
I didn't know that.
It's mine and Allie's home. We've bounced around different places that we've rented, and we're finally in a position to be able to build and kind of quote unquote roots, whatever that might mean in the life of ministry. You never know, but we're gonna try it anyways. So yeah, we're excited getting to venture into some new things that we haven't done yet as a married couple. So we're excited about that.
That's awesome, man. I'm glad to be able to have you back on the podcast since last year was so busy. And I know Corey's New Year's resolution was to be on more episodes, so maybe Corey actually couldn't be on here today, but it's going to be his loss as we have a good conversation with Ben.
We're not even out of January, and he's already breaking his resolution.
He's already backing out of stuff.
Hey, they say after 2 weeks, most people fail, so, and it's only 15th day, so that's about right. Ben, go ahead and introduce yourself.
Me? All right. Well, my name is Ben Beasley. I am kind of weirdly related to James, not really at all, I guess. James's stepfather is my father-in-law. Is that correct? No, not stepfather.
My stepfather-in-law.
Your stepfather-in-law is actually my father-in-law. So anyway, we just both happen to be in ministry there, which is pretty cool. I currently have been in student ministry full-time for 9 years now. I currently serve at Temple Baptist Church in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. Woo-woo-woo, Southern Miss to the top. Actually, I could care less about Southern Miss because I graduated from Liberty. But, you know, I guess I got to drink the Kool-Aid around here if I'm going to do ministry. at any cost, I've been doing student ministry now for quite some time. I am married to Jamie Beasley. We have two children. I have a 10-year-old who just turned 10. Her name is Addison. And then I've got a 7-year-old. His name is Jonah. And we currently live in the Oak Grove residence of Hattiesburg. So I've been at my church now at Temple for, I'm starting my third summer, and we love it. It is absolutely crazy, but we make it by. We are actually right in the middle of getting ready for D now, so it is game time.
D now, baby.
D now. 2 weeks. Gonna be fun. Lot to prepare for, but gonna be fun.
Awesome. One thing that we ask everyone that gets on here is just briefly tell us how you come to Christ.
Oh, wow. I wish I could say it was as short as Paul on the road to Damascus, but my story is awesome. I grew up just real generic. Couple highlight points. I grew up in the Missionary Baptist Church. My father was a missionary Baptist preacher, kind of grew up into the church culture in and around church, spent the majority of my life in church doing everything about it. And so my dad was a pastor at a church that was about 40 miles away from our house and had two youth. And so it was very taxing on me and my family. And so at the age of 16, the church that he was at, there was only me and one other boy in the student ministry. And so the church that we were at was so far away, there wasn't a youth ministry. And so my dad said, you know what, when you can drive, you can make a choice to go to a church that's kind of closer to home. And I made that church, Salem Heights, which was in Laurel, Mississippi. That's where I'm originally from. So that really, I believe, is when God began to woo me, I guess. I entered into the student ministry there. The student pastor was probably one of the most incredible godly guys I'd ever met. And he was a 40-year-old who wasn't married, so he was doing student ministry right. And he was, he was a disciple maker. And so automatically he and I connected and he just started pouring into me. And slowly as I went through his student ministry and the church that I was involved in was a very, very godly church, I began to realize that who I said I was wasn't who I really was. And so just a little background about me. I played sports all throughout high school and even in college. And so the school that I went to was in the city of Laurel, but the church I went to was in the county. And so it was very easy for me to have this identity built up at my school and on the football team and this whole personality over here, but then out here at the church that was out in the country, it was easy for me to play religion. And I got really, really good at being religious. And so my salvation, for me, salvation was my holiness was equal to my church attendance. And if I didn't cuss or not, or, you know, kind of all those little weird nuanced things that we do. And it wasn't until the age of 18 that, you know, I was living this kind of hypocritical life. I was saying one thing and doing another and just was, you know, just kind of really just being a hypocrite, really. And it was a Bailey Smith revival. Bailey Smith came and did a revival at our church and preached a message, his famous wheat and tares message. And my senior Sunday school teacher led me to Christ. I fell under the power, conviction of the spirit, man, realized that and understood that. I didn't understand it quite at the time, but now that I know and I'm as close as I am on my walk with God, the gospel wasn't good news. The gospel was a laundry list of things that I had to do. And my brother always told me, he said, dude, the gospel is good news. And so I was like, there's nothing good about this. I feel like this is a prison. And so I just fell under the spirit. God was calling me and I fell under spirit's conviction and gave my heart to Christ right there at 18. From that, man, God has done some incredible, incredible things in my life. And so, yeah, that's kind of how I came to Christ. You know, just a young church, normal church kid growing up in church, jock living a hypocritical life who God radically saved at 18.
Awesome, man.
I always love asking this question just to understand where the ministers have come from in their life. So tell us how you ended up at the church you're at now.
Oh, wow. So first of all, it took me 10 months to get hired at this church.
Wow.
10 months. And in the middle of that process, we sold our house, bought a house. My mom died, and my daughter got saved. So it was a crazy, crazy emotional process. But so my history in ministry is I graduated college, finished in Lynchburg, Virginia at Liberty. We got pregnant. We moved back home, back in with my mother-in-law, which was fun-ish. From there, that's a long story in and of itself, but God called me to a little church in Ellisville, Mississippi. first youth event I ever had in my professional ministry career. I had two kids show up to it. And now at this church, we run over 200, 250. So God, I mean, this has been a crazy journey. I went from Ellisville and I served at a church in Jackson for 5 years. And I have been currently here now going on 3 years. And so how I ended up here at my previous church, Jamie and myself got to a point to where we felt that God was doing something. Like, we weren't willing at that point to move. We were extremely comfortable. We loved the house. We loved the neighborhood. We loved the schools. She loved her job. We loved the church people, but the church really was struggling on some things. The children's ministry was non-existent, and we're in a church of 200 people. I mean, we had a lot of ups and downs. And so after a mission trip, we decided to just pray that our hearts would be open to doing whatever God wanted us to do. If that meant we needed to leave the church, we would. If that meant that we needed to stay there and just kind of buckle down and do some things differently, we would. And 2 weeks later, I got a phone call, a text out of the blue from a buddy of mine I used to work with, who was at Sherwin-Williams. And he moved down here to Hattiesburg. And he said, guess who just had a youth pastor position open up? Ha, 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 right? Because we were really good friends. We used to play softball together. And he moved down here. And I was like, yeah, that's real funny. But he didn't know that we had had those conversations. And that started God used that and started a 10-month long process of taking our family from Jackson, Mississippi to Hattiesburg, Mississippi. There's so many details in how that all transpired. Like, God was in every single detail, from the initial phase of preparing our heart to get ready to leave, to selling our house, to providing us with Jamie with a job down here, in the middle of that, my mom died. My dad lived in Laurel. Hattiesburg is 30 minutes away from Laurel. So at that moment, I was like, okay, God, I know what you're doing. You're getting ready to move us. So it was a really cool process. We got here. I know that I'm here because God has definitely called me here, because I don't have seminary. I'm currently in seminary. I've taken one class. So I looked online and I was like, okay, Jamie, what is this church that he's at? And we go online and we look at the church website and I'm like, you're joking, right? There's no way a church like that would ever hire a guy like me. I mean, come on. That's the pastor's wives here have seminary degrees. Like, how's this even possible? And I just laughed and I was like, okay, sure, let's send them my resume. And man, God had his hand all in that, dude.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, that's how I ended up here. It's really, really long. There's a lot of details, but I can safely say that God has no doubt put me and my family in Hattiesburg, Mississippi at this church.
So yeah. Tell us a little bit about the church overall, and then tell us about the youth ministry at your church.
Okay. All right. So the church overall is located in Oak Grove, Mississippi. It is probably 500 yards from one of Mississippi's largest high schools. Like, I can look out my office windows and see the high school. And it's really cool on Wednesday nights to watch the kids just kind of migrate and flock over. It's great. But the church in itself is, where do we begin with? Temple Baptist Church. I'm not going to go all the way back in the history, but right now, we average on a Sunday right around 1,700, 2,000. We have 16 pastors on staff. We are going through an incredible time right now in our church's vision and mission. We have, there's so much going on at this church. From the bottom to the top, We have a learning depot. We have a preschool, our preschool ministry, children's ministry, youth ministry, missions ministry, singles ministry. We have your typical larger church. We usually have pastors who handle missions, who handle all the ins and outs of the ministry. So, gosh, the church is awesome, man. It's a great church. You would think at a church this size that it'd be kind of hard to plug in, but We do a really, really good job of making sure that if you come to this church, you are going to feel at home and you're going to feel plugged in, and you can plug in and you can grow. Honestly, in my tenure as a Christian and in my just being around a church, this is by far the most spiritually healthy church I've ever been at. Like, even that even counts like visiting churches. This is no doubt by far the most, and I'm not saying that because I'm here. I'd probably mess all that up. But yeah, it's a great church. Our senior pastor is incredible. Our executive pastor, who's been here 26 years, just retired. And our worship pastor, who's been here 28 years, I think he's probably getting ready to follow suit. Currently, right now, we only have one youth pastor doing two youth pastor's jobs, which has been awesome. The other student pastor moved up to an associate pastor position in our church, and he's over assimilation, so he didn't just like leave. It's a great church, man. The people are incredible. It's a big church with a small town vibe. People are awesome. First thing we noticed was how cool the people were when we got here. So it's a good church. It really is.
So tell us about the size of the youth group and just anything else you want us to know about it.
Right now, Wednesday nights, we bounce around between, depending on the time of the year and the month, you know, we can kick around 250. We usually stay around 220 to 260 on average, which is by and far different than the church that I just served at with 30 kids. By and far different. D-Now for 30 kids and arranging host homes is significantly different than trying to find 200 plus kids a place to stay and a place to eat. But the youth group's incredible, man. When I first got to this church, I came here as the junior high student pastor over 7th and 8th grade. And since I served 2 years in that position, and when Drew, the other student pastor, when he moved up, they kind of just put me over everything. And since this past August, I have been, me and Melissa, our ministry assistant, have been kind of tackling all of that. But the youth group's good. I mean, youth or youth, wherever you go, whether it's on the other side of the planet or if it's in Smallville, USA, they're still dealing with all the same issues. And it's just now, here, it's just a little bit more diverse. I've got several different students on several different areas of life going through the same things, but it's just a different flavor. So what's really cool that I like about our student ministry is we, from the time a kid enters into the student ministry to the time that a kid leaves the student ministry, they have the opportunity of going on a mission trip here, a mission trip like in Las Vegas or something like that, and then also a mission trip overseas. But we also offer them a chance to go into what we call a gap year, what we set up as a gap year with ministry partners around the globe. And so we put a really good focus on missions. We put a focus on discipleship. The way we tackle our discipleship is we have Sunday mornings, which is called our Bible Fellowship Hour. And in our Bible Fellowship Hours, where they get more doctrine, and the Wednesday nights are more evangelistic. Wednesday nights are Jesus to the masses. Sunday mornings are Jesus to the many, which is, you know, like Bible fellowship. And then our last component that we do is life groups. And that's Jesus to the few, where we have kids of the same age, same gender, and same grade, all together in a group of 6 to 10 students who are with a life group leader, and they are going through accountability, confession of sin, reading scripture together, encouraging one another, praying one another, and those life groups meet off campus. This is the first church I've ever been to that we don't really have. We have one thing that we do a month on Sunday nights here on campus, and that's called House of Prayer, where the whole church just gets together and prays. It's really cool.
That's awesome.
But for the student ministry, it starts off on Wednesday nights, normal weekly ministry Wednesday nights. Jesus to the Masses is more evangelistic. Sunday mornings is more discipleship and scripture and doctrine. And then Sunday nights with life group, or whenever they meet, they don't have to meet on Sunday nights. That's more like one-on-one, like spiritual growth, one-on-one accountability. And so we do that. That's our weekly ministry. The stuff, you know, we do everything a normal student ministry does. We do disciple nows, fall retreats. We do a big camp in the summer. We do just kind of all the normal student ministry things that you would kind of figure a church doing that throughout the year.
Okay. Well, before I hand it over to Daniel, let him ask all the youth ministry specific questions. There's one question we ask everyone that comes on here.
Oh, wow. I'm kind of nervous.
How would you define an everyday minister?
How would I define an everyday minister? I guess an everyday minister is a guy who is called to his Savior, who's saved, who's trying to live out doing what his Savior's told him to do, whether that be on a Sunday morning teaching, or it might be on a Thursday night seventh grade junior high basketball game up in the stands eating some nachos. Like, an everyday minister to me is where a guy gets up every single day and he lives his life on mission for Christ, trying to live out the calling that God's placed on his life. So, yeah, I guess that's how I would define it. I guess that's a horribly convoluted definition.
Awesome, man. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. So just a couple of questions for you regarding student ministry. First one I would like to ask you is just what do you find, and I'm excited to hear because I haven't ever had a position where I've been over this the size group that you have.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm interested to see how you respond to this question. But what do you find to be like maybe the top two biggest difficulties that you face in student ministry?
You say top two student
top
the top two,
three,
two biggest
however,
hurdles.
What do you,
okay, all yeah, right. Let's do the top sign, three.
Biggest thing.
Let's go top three. First of all, number one issue by and large is the enemy, hands down. He's a turkey, and he's coming after our kids. Second biggest, largest issue in student ministry is parents. If they would just do a good job, make my job a whole lot easier. I'm just kidding. Dude. No, parents are very, very, very key to your ministry. Third, the hurdles, entitlement. Entitlement is huge, especially in our culture.
Mm-hmm.
Where I feel I deserve this. So you have a rapidly decaying moral society who is preaching to our kids, you get yours, you have this. It's J.G. Wentworth, man. It's my money and I want it now. You know, it's you got in a wreck. It's not your fault. It's their fault. You get all the money. It's just this. Right. It's, you know, I'd say, first of all, it's the enemy. It's always going to be the enemy, no matter what.
Yeah.
Second of all, parents can help you or they can hurt you.
Yeah.
And then culture definitely preaches the gospel to our kids.
Yeah. Well, just to touch base on the parents' response there, I have discovered that when you have parents on your side, like you already said, it can make a world of difference. And when you have parents against you, it can be the greatest struggle.
It can be a thorn in the flesh,
yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. Cool story. One of my students here at our church, found out that she didn't have her own Bible. Apparently someone in her family took it from her or something like that. And so my wife and I had decided we wanted to take her out to lunch one day and then go and take her to get a new Bible. And so we were trying to arrange that. We were texting back and forth, and apparently her parents saw our text conversation, and they did not realize that her Bible had been taken. The day that they saw her conversation, they took her out and surprised her by letting her pick out a new Bible.
Sweet.
And I was so excited about that because I would much rather your parents be the one doing things like that for you than me.
Yeah, for sure.
So I was so excited. She was so excited to get to share that with me. So
I've learned over the course of doing student ministry that student ministry is not just a student ministry, is also for the parent too.
Absolutely.
If not more so. So, I think those are huge. Those are some things that I find myself always battling. Like the enemy is always going to be after our kids to offer the newest, brightest, shiniest object to distract them.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then parents, it's not their fault. You know, it's not like they're just out. You know, I'm fixing to be a parent of a teenager in 3 years. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure I'm not going to know what to do. I'm pretty sure I don't know what to do now. But, there's a struggle there that, you always try to fight for my parents. What's really cool that we get to do in our student ministry is we try to disciple the parent too. Yeah. And so on Wednesday nights, we offer this thing, it's called Parent Path, where all the parents, let's just say a junior high kid, and you've got this, you got a kid in a junior high ministry. Well, you don't know at this church, it's hard to know people from Adam around here because of just the size. So what we do is we offer to our parents an opportunity for them to lock arms with other parents who are their same age and help disciple them. So we'll do a parent path where a junior high parent can go into a classroom with other junior high parents and go through a study together. They'll go through like a book called, I don't know, Tech Savvy Parenting, or they'll just go through a book and they'll be a facilitator and they can really kind of just grow together and work together. And we do the same thing for senior high too as well. So that's been really cool.
That's a great idea. I like this. Good. Okay. So kind of a question to follow up with that, about discipling, your middle schoolers.
Okay.
Because that's something I asked that because that's something that I'm kind of dealing with right now too.
Yeah.
Learning better.
Absolutely.
How to be more intentional with this middle schoolers.
Yeah. So one of my, because this is youth ministry, I love, my previous church that I was at, it just speaks into how hard it is sometimes. We rolled our sixth graders were included into our student ministry. And so when we had promotion Wednesday, I had this sixth grade boy, and we had 6th through 12th, which was a horrible idea, but it was just the church that we were at. We had no other options for them. So the sixth grader started. And so it was the very first Wednesday night when they rolled up this sixth grade boy. he brought his Transformers to play with in the youth room. And my 17 and 18 year old boys, it was all that I could do to keep them off of him. So I understand the struggle when it comes to trying to disciple those students. But the way that we do discipleship with our students, by and large, is we do that model. We offer, as far as discipleship is concerned, our primary avenues are Wednesday night, they're going to get more evangelism. Wednesday night, they're going to get more just kind of topical things, which we do, do some doctrine. But Sunday mornings, they go into a classroom where we have seventh grade boys, seventh grade girls, eighth grade boys, eighth grade girls. And the way that we have our Sunday school, we call it Bible fellowship, not Sunday school. It took me for a while to figure that out. So in the classroom, there are two teachers who teach. We go through, we're the whole church, our whole church, even all the way down to preschool, is doing the same Sunday school stuff. We do the gospel project, chronological. Yeah. So that I can leave church and I can know exactly what my daughter studied that day, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. So they go through, they teach the gospel, they go through, just that series. And so in that hour is when they're getting kind of their discipleship there. But also we do two things. In the Bible fellowship class, there's not only two teachers, but there's an encourager. And his primary goal or her primary goal is to go with that kid or that group of kids, every year they move up. So the teachers stay in that room. The encouragers go with them. So an encourager basically signs on for several years. They come in at the seventh grade. They meet their kids. And the role of encourager is to do exactly what it sounds like, to organize functions, to do things away from the church, to kind of be the student pastor that I can't be. And then we kind of, from there, when they go up into the eighth grade, their encourager goes with them, and they just get a new set of teachers. Ninth grade, same thing. And they will go all the way through the 12th with their encourager. And what's really cool is to see how they are bonded with that encourager throughout that process. And then they roll out, and that encourager rolls back down to the seventh grade. So that role is real crucial, because they are constantly like like the way that I do it, the way that, especially at this level, is your leadership. Like, you've got to train your leaders and work with your leaders on what to do and how to do it, and help them be the minister that you can't be for every kid. Now, there are kids in the student ministry that I'm just closer with, just because that's the way God wired us. And so, like, I can't one-on-one disciple 200 kids. So that's going to be in the way that, you know, they have leaders and volunteers. And so in the Bible Fellowship Hour, the encourager does that, but also their life group leader on Sunday night. They have a completely different person who's their life group leader on Sunday night, where they get together and they facilitate life on life. They talk about the hard things. They talk about, you know, like, I have a life group, and we started talking about cheating on tests the other day. And like, it's real fun to watch how the guys begin to learn and Jesus juke each other. It's really funny. So discipleship begins broadly on Wednesday nights. It gets a little bit more focused on Sunday mornings, and then it gets hyper focused through life groups. And so the way that you train your leaders is the way it's going to reflect in your groups.
That's awesome, man. I love the emphasis on the one-on-one relational discipleship. That's something that I actually have set a goal for here at our church, and leading my volunteer leaders in as well. And you know, for our listeners, relational discipleship is
Jesus'
greatest form of success. That's right. That's right. And so, just to encourage you, you can be the greatest speaker in the world. You can be the greatest curriculum writer in the world, but relational discipleship is where you are going to see the most fruit come from. So I love the encourager idea. That's a wonderful idea, man. I appreciate you sharing that with us.
It definitely works.
A couple more questions for you before we do roll off. What is it that you do in your own personal life to keep yourself fueled and focused on the Lord in your day-to-day?
Prayer. There is no other thing that, I mean, obviously getting in God's word. I mean, that's God's word, getting God's word, but getting alone with God and going after Him and going after His presence is the most important thing in ministry. It just is. There's no other way around it. That how can I lead people to God if I'm not spending time with Him? If I am not in relationship with Him, like, how? There's no other way that I can do that. So me on a personal daily basis, I get along with God. I wish I could say that I'm a father of two, and I'm doing two full-time jobs right now. And so sometimes ministry is tough, and then you're trying to have, like, do all sorts of kind of things alongside with that, as far as like just things that come from being a husband and a dad. So it's hard to be regular in some things. And I wish that I could say that I got up at 4 a.m. and prayed for 2 hours and had this in-depth Bible study, but I just don't, because I like to sleep. But I find moments throughout the day that I get alone It's usually when I first thing in the morning when I come into office, I tell my ministry assistant, give me an hour and just let me get with God for a minute. Or, you know, I'll come in and she and I and the college pastor will sit down, and before we start our day, we'll pray. We'll spend 20 minutes praying, 20, 30 minutes praying, just kind of over the day. But I have just found that just, man, throughout the day, like the scripture is very clear, like never cease praying. And so every moment, every chance I get, if I get a little downtime, I'm trying to get with God. But the good times are whenever, you know, God wakes you up early in the morning and you can't go back to sleep, and you know it's for a reason, so you just get along with Him. And so for me, it's getting long. I wish that I could, I mean, I do read, but I don't read as often as I should. I mean, I read a lot for this past seminary class, and it was good. It's just, it's challenging. It's challenging to find time to carve out just because you got all this going on. So just being intentional and getting along with God.
You do well. Final question, and this is something that all three of us are going to get to do, is on our podcast, we do a plug of the week. First, I can give you a minute to be thinking about what you would like to plug, but it can be anything. It can
I got it.
Artist, if you got it, man, you take it.
I already know it. Okay, so doing student ministry, as long as I've done student ministry, I know that at this church, I'm extremely blessed. Not all youth pastors can have a ministry assistant. I have a ministry assistant. Not all student pastors have a media team that you can go and say, hey, I need a graphic. Not all pastors, you know, usually at a church, I've had to wear that cap where I've had to be the janitor. I've had to clean up all the junk in the youth room. I've had to plan out the series. I've had to be where you're doing all the paperwork, and man, that can get tiring. So I've got one plug that will help you guys out as far as if you're going to make graphics for your series. There's this website. It's called unsplash.com. Unsplash.com. And you can go in there, and they give out free pictures. Now, maybe you've heard of that, or maybe you haven't heard of that. I use that a lot for that. I'm reading a book right now called Alone with God by John MacArthur. It's a really good book, just talking about prayer. Other plugs. That's the ones that are fresh on the top of my mind. I've used that a lot recently.
That's good. Yeah, Unsplash is a great one, man. I've used that a bit. Great, great resources, great, awesome, high-quality pictures, photos. Some things of that nature. That's good stuff. The plug that I would like to give is called Student Ministry That Matters by Ben Trueblood. And if you are like me, you like short books. I love to read, but I get easily distracted and quickly drawn away to new and different things. And so Student Ministry That Matters is a book. It's got a lot of awesome stuff. Really about to go back through it again. I blasted through it the first time, and now I want to go back through it with a highlighter and slow myself down a little bit. But nice. Wonderful book for youth pastors at churches of any size. Focuses a lot on relational ministry. Ben Trueblood, Student Ministry That Matters. It's a great one. You can pick it up, I think, at Lifeway or pretty much anywhere.
It's awesome, guys. The only one I have for us today, and I'm actually going to recommend and talk about this on a special episode we're going to release probably the next week after this one airs, is a website called Canva. Canva, it's to kind of go with unsplash.com. You can make the pictures and graphics yourself. So if you're a little more talented, you can use that. And if you do the right paperwork, you can actually, as a church, get everything on there for free, except for some of the stuff you have to buy that everyone has to buy. So it's a pretty good resource.
Are you guys familiar with Right Now Media?
Yes.
Okay. Make sure, like, right now.
Right now.
All right. Right Now Media is basically Netflix for Christians. Okay.
Fantastic.
Oh, okay. I have heard about this.
Okay. It does. I love it because, man, it's pretty cheap, and you can actually, once you subscribe to it as a pastor, you can offer it to your congregation for free. That's one of the things we do here is when that sounds so horrible. Like, And you, instead of saying you get a car, we give like our new members who join a subscription to Right Now Media.
Yeah.
And that's been really cool. So you can go on to Right Now Media and you can check out videos for sermon series. You can check out videos by, you know, popular speakers like Francis Chan's on there, some other guys that do their series. I am in an adult life group. And so our adult life group, we went on there and we just picked out a series to go through. And so we were like, okay, we want to do something on marriage. So we picked Together Forever. And so every time we met, we watched a lesson and just kind of talked about it.
I just got through a few months ago going through that with my congregation. Did the video and everything. It's really good. Cool.
So check out Right Now Media. If you're not familiar with it, Right Now Media is definitely an incredible tool, resource.
Especially if you have young children as well, because pretty much any VeggieTale, any kids shows are on there. So it's really good.
No doubt.
Well, Ben, before we get off here, anything you want to add or say?
No, not at all. I think I love that. I love you guys are doing this. This is awesome. How long? Daniel, have you been a student minister?
I am in my ninth year.
That's awesome. At ninth year
and my church, first church I was at for 2 years and then 6 years at my second. And now here I am still in my first year at my current location. So, yeah, man.
What events do y'all have coming up?
We have we just finished our Disciple Now weekend. We actually called it a winter staycation.
Let's go.
Christmas break. That was really good. And now I'm kind of gearing up for we're doing a big Super Bowl party outreach thing. I'm trying to get, you know, really just encourage my students to invite friends because at halftime of the Super Bowl, we'll share the gospel. We're going to have prizes and things of that nature. Just we're going to have it somewhere besides the church. Just trying to make it as enticing as possible. It sounds super sketchy and I love it.
That's okay.
As enticing as possible to students, to friends of our students who maybe don't have a church home or don't have a relationship.
Bring it on. James, what y'all got going on?
Well, nothing really big right now, except for I'm actually planning a youth event for our association. So that's been fun. I haven't done that in 3 years. So it's interesting.
Let's go.
Ben, just tell us how everybody can get in touch with you on social media if they wanted to.
Okay. I love social media, but I got a love-hate relationship with it. @Benjamin_Levi is my Instagram, @Benjamin_Levi. Our student ministry, if you want to keep up with what's going on in our student ministry, is at TBC Students. I believe, that's what it is, @TBC Students. So you can follow there. I am on Facebook. I've been off of Facebook for what seems to be 7-8 years, but I finally, like, supply and demand has forced me to go back on there. I usually do Instagram. That's kind of one of the things I don't do it like too much, just because, like, I try to guard myself a lot of that. If I do, I'll do Instagram or I'll do Snapchat.
All right. Well, Ben, we're glad you got to be a guest on the podcast here. And Daniel, I'm glad you got to be on here. I know you're busy as well, but this has been the Everyday Ministry Podcast, a podcast where everyday ministers get together to discuss ministry.
If you're encouraged by what you hear, please go like our Facebook page, share the episodes, and rate the podcast on iTunes. Don't forget that a new episode drops every first and third Mondays. Our prayer is that these episodes are an encouragement to you and that you would be faithful in the ministry that God has placed you in. I'm sick of running into the wind that strikes my back, about time to start kicking and screaming. Gotta get out of here fast, I'm running. Dream.
where they know my head and back through my throat and all the way.